I want to talk this morning about five fundamental freedoms for the Christian evangelizer. Five fundamental freedoms that will make us more effective as Christian evangelizers. You know, we've been talking an awful lot in this parish about evangelizing. So much of the work of evangelization requires that you and I be free of a lot of issues, free of just free of fear and free of so many things that bind us and keep us silent and keep us fearful or just keep us so preoccupied with worldly things that we have no attention that we pay at all to things spiritual. And so the Lord, if you will, in this gospel, sends out the disciples two by two to evangelize. And he summons them and he gives them instructions or counsels on how they should go forth. And I would say to you, therefore, that he is announcing to them five fundamental freedoms that we should ask from the Lord so that we can become better and better evangelizers. And don't think that these types of instructions refer only to the clergy or to missionaries or to people with special missions like that, but because all of you are missionaries. If you're a parent, you're a missionary to your children. If you're an elder, you're a missionary to a youngster. But all of us are missionaries. All of us are evangelizers. So let's look at these freedoms that the Lord announces. Now, the first freedom is the freedom of summons, of having been summoned by the Lord to this task. The text simply says, Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. You know, there's something freeing about knowing that you've been summoned. You heard the first reading today, right? The king, now he's a pretty powerful guy, right? And he summons Amos. He says, Amos, get over here. You are causing trouble in my kingdom. And Amos, he says, off with you, visionary. He says, and Amos says, listen, a higher authority call me to do this, you see. I'm not going to make any apologies to you, king. I recognize your worldly authority, and you have the power to cast me into jail. You have the power to throw me out, but I have to answer to a higher authority. And so he's free from this fear of a lesser king by his reverence to a higher king. You see the freedom? Or think of an army commander who has a difficult mission to call his troops to. And some of them may object, some of them may be fearful, but because he has it from headquarters that he's part of a bigger plan, with courage, he summons his troops, and he says, we've got to go. We've got to take this hill. And he summons them with courage. Again, there's a kind of a freedom. He doesn't have to doubt his own thinking. Others who have the bigger picture in mind have thought this through, and this is what must be done. I don't know about you, but church, it's a real freeing thing for me to know as a priest that I've been summoned to speak the gospel, whether in season or out of season. And right now, the gospel's kind of out of season in this world of ours. But you know, it's very freeing to simply know I have been given this task, and if I have to die doing it, I know it's what the Lord called me to do. Now, you as parents, you as older speaking to younger, we all have this. Did you hear with the second reading? Paul starts out, he says, blessed. Someone say blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. That's equipment. You've been equipped. You got it? And then it says, he chose us in him. Chose us before the foundation of the world. Do you know you've been chosen? You've been summoned. You've been equipped. You've been called, equipped, empowered, and enabled. If you're a parent, If you're an older folks talking to younger folks, if you're just a leader, you have been summoned to announce the gospel. And some may say to you, off with you, visionary. That's all right. There's just something freeing about having been called by a higher authority. Are you praying with me? Now, St. Paul, when some would discourage him from preaching, he would simply say, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for God has given me this sacred trust. Now, if you're a parent and you say to your, you call your children to do what is right, they're going to say, oh, ma, oh, dad, which is just another way of saying, off with you, visionary. You've just got to say, God has given me this sacred trust. And you may say nay, you may say I'm a meanie, you may say anything you want about me, but God has given me this sacred trust. St. Paul wrote to Timothy, but he's also talking to you and to me as a pastor. He's saying this. He says, Timothy, put your own name in the sentence now. Charles, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I hope every parent in this church just really heard that today. I charge you in the presence of Christ Jesus, the judge of the world and the Lord of the universe. We've been charged. I'm charged to preach to all of you, you who are parents, you who are elders, you who are leaders in the community. You have been charged. Preach the word. It's out of season now, but preach it anyway. And then again, he says, simply this, correct, rebuke, and also encourage, and with great patience and careful instruction. Are you praying with me? Sometimes parents, we got to be patient, don't we? Careful instruction. But again, we consistently preach this word. Now again, all of this, I hope, as you hear this, is freeing to you. There will be people who say, you have no right to talk to me about these things. There will be those who tell the church, you have no right to speak about moral issues in our world today. The church, the Bible-believing Christians, everyone should just go away. We answer to a higher authority. We have been summoned. And when anyone wants to say to you or to the church, off with you, visionary, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For I have this charge from Jesus Christ. So again, I hope you see, first of all, the first freedom is the courage that comes from this. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world, and you have been given every spiritual blessing in the heaven to go and to preach a word to a world that is often unwilling. Somebody say amen. Now, not only is there the freedom of summons, of having been summoned, but there is next the freedom of simplicity. Now, here the Lord gets a little personal. I want to just say, he gets a little personal. He's going to step on some toes up here in the pulpit and out there in the pews. Jesus said to them, take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. I needed a walking stick earlier this week, but I'll tell you about that later. Take no walking, you can take a walking stick, but don't take extra food, no extra sacks, money, lots of extra money. Go ahead, wear sandals, but don't bring all kinds of extra clothes, a second tunic. Now, church, the freedom of simplicity. An awful lot of us have lives that are cluttered, complex, and therefore compromised. It just comes down to this, too much stuff. Too much stuff. We got so many things going on. You know, when you buy a new car, a fancy boat, you buy a new home, you got to maintain that thing. You got to insure that thing. You got to upgrade that thing. Well, the Lord has some advice for all of us. He says, travel light. Now, if you're just traveling, you're going to bring your whole house with you? You bring your luggage, right? Some of us bring more luggage than we ought to bring. They're trying to enforce that now on the airlines. They have this little thing, if your luggage doesn't fit in this, you got to put it in the bay, you got to put it down underneath. Church, the Lord says travel light. Our lives are very complicated and cluttered today. We're overbooked. We're overscheduled. We have many wrongful priorities. We spend an awful lot of time thinking about things that don't matter all that much. And the things that do matter, we don't pay much attention to. Who has time to read the Bible to my child? I got to get him to soccer practice. You get it? Now, again, I didn't say soccer is bad. I just said reading the Bible to your child is much more important. But you see, what happens is the priority of the urgent eclipses the priority of the important. And our lives are cluttered and they're complicated. And I tell you that to the degree that we are heavily invested in this world, in its agenda, in its wealth, in its power, and in its popularity, we will be compromised. To speak the gospel, to speak the truth in love, has too many consequences. Too much to lose, and so we grow silent. It's just too radical to preach the gospel. Some, we might not get promoted, we might be frowned upon, we might not be popular. The world gets its hooks in us through all this stuff, too much stuff. Now, I can't tell you how to simplify. I'm not that good at it myself. I'm just going to tell you, we got to get on our knees and say, Lord, help me. Help me to begin to focus my life on the one thing necessary so that everything I do is about the one thing. St. Paul said, this one thing I do, I press on to the prize marked out for me in Christ Jesus my Lord. You may have a number of things to do, but how are they all related to the one thing? We've got to ask the Lord. This is going to take real heart surgery on the part of the Lord, because church, we got it going on when it comes to a consumer culture. You can have it in any color, in any variety, in any size. You can supersize it. Some of y'all have great rooms in your house that are bigger than the house that you ever grew up in. We have an amazing ability in our current, Even with our economic troubles now, we have an amazing ability and variety, and that kind of stuff can get to you. Too much stuff. Before you know it, we're weighed down, we're distracted, we're worrying about getting the air conditioning repaired, we're worrying about running to soccer practice, we're worried about going here and going there and working a part-time job so I can afford the addition I put onto the house. And meanwhile, the kids are going untended. They're not getting Bible stories read to them. Things are getting lost and can't make it to church. And well, you see, what's important gets set aside for what's urgent. And the Lord says, simplify. And there is a freedom in simplicity. You can't steal from a man who has nothing. And you can't cause fear in a man who has nothing invested in this world. But the more invested we are in this world with money and all of the roots we set down in this world, the more we are, the more fearful, the more enslaved we are to it, and the less free. And so the Lord says today, travel light. You said, I don't know how, preacher. It's complicated, preacher. Got to have that new car, got to have the house, got to have the internet connection, got to have all that stuff. I know it's hard. This is the deep heart surgery that the Lord has to do, but the Lord can give us this freedom. Are you praying with me, church? I can say he's helped me to simplify a lot over the years. I got a long way to go, church. But again, all of us just say, Lord, I want this freedom of increasingly living a simpler, less complicated, less cluttered life. And Lord, you alone can do it because my heart is too mixed up to figure it all out. Are you praying with me? So the Lord says, the first freedom for an evangelizer is the freedom to know that you've been summoned. The second freedom to seek from the Lord is simplicity. And the third freedom, the freedom of stability. The Lord says, wherever you enter, whatever town you enter into, find a house and stay there. Hello? Stay there. Stability. What is stability? Is the freedom to accept what is and work with that rather than to be constantly looking for something better. Are you praying with me on this one now? A lot of folks are always saying, well, if only I could live over there. If only I had that much money. If only I had a different family than I have now. Got too many nuts falling out of my family tree. And if only my spouse was, and we're always looking somewhere else. You know, a lot of people want their marriage to be ideal. And if there's any ordeal, they go looking for a new deal. Stability is the freedom, the capacity to accept what is and to work with it rather than to constantly be looking for something better. It's the freedom to bloom where you are planted. It is the freedom to use what God actually gives you rather than to complain about what you don't have and wait for something better. Church, this waiting for things to improve, for a better situation, is a kind of a slavery. It's an illusion. Bloom where you are planted. Preach to the family you actually have, to the spouse you actually have. Come to the church you actually have. Get involved with the imperfect parish community or local community in which you actually are. Go there. Get involved. Meet those people. But I don't like it this way. I wish it were that way. Work with what is. There is a beautiful freedom in just accepting what is. You don't have to approve of everything. Anyone here perfect? Well, I'm not so sure I can work with you then. Well, aren't you glad I didn't say that? Amen? Come on, church. We got to work with what is. And there is a beautiful freedom in accepting that. Just simply accepting and staying put and then setting down roots. You know, there is one of the bigger problems that we have in handing on the faith today is that there is very little stability in our culture. People move every 10 years. They're moving. There's all kinds of situations and instabilities, and the economy is changing, and lots of movement going on. And, you know, 100 years ago, most people died within 50 miles of where they were born. They hardly ever moved. You'd get a job, and you pretty much stayed with that as your career, and then you retired. Now people are switching careers all the time, moving from city to city, traveling and getting on airplanes, going all over the world. Some people commute to Las Vegas or L.A. and come back on a Friday and spend the weekend here. Again, all of this is disruptive of the deep, stable roots where the gospel can best be preached. And I know that not everybody has simple choices about this. We have a complicated worldwide economy today. But try and again ask the Lord for the freedom to find some stability in your life. You see, again, preaching the gospel depends on deep, well-founded relationships, upon patience and perseverance and taking a long view in life. Running here and running there and living only on the surface, that's not going to get very far. That's thin soil, and you're not going to get tall growths on thin soil. It's the deeper roots, the deeper soil, that produces great faith. I know it's complicated, but ask the Lord for the freedom to find some stability the freedom of stability to bloom where you're planted, to work with what is, and where possible, to stay put and not just run here and run there and just be on the surface of every little organization or parish or organization that you belong to. Are you praying with me? Now you see, therefore, there's a freedom of having been summoned. There's a freedom in simplicity. There's a freedom in stability. In other words, in being able to accept what is and work with it. And there's a freedom next of surety. The Lord says, look, just accept it. You're going to get it with both barrels. There's going to be some people that hate you. It says here, whenever a place that you go to doesn't welcome you or listen to you, leave there. Shake the dust. See that, church? Just shake the dust. Shake the dust against and testimony against them. Now, church, this is one of the greatest freedoms to seek. The gift to be free of our obsession with being popular, with being well-liked, with fitting in. The obsession. Now, I'm not saying that we should all become sociopaths and walk around, never groom ourselves. I don't give a rip what anybody thinks. That's not what the Lord is counseling here, right? We ought to groom ourselves, and we ought to be presentable and be kind and not use ugly language. But church, this obsession with having everybody like me and being popular is a kind of a slavery. And the Lord says, I want to set you free from that. You need to have a kind of a freedom that when you know you're authentically preaching the gospel and you're rejected and laughed at and scorned because of it, it's not going to get to you. Just shake the dust. It's just a little dust. Yeah, where's my lint brush? Lint. Instead of letting it, you know, hit us in the core of our heart and we're all crippled with anger and fear and frustration. Oh, church, we need this freedom. Amen? This freedom of surety. I know what the Lord has taught me. It's in His Word. I'm proclaiming it to the best of my ability. It's not me they hate. It's the Lord. And so the Lord says, don't let it get to you. Shake the dust and move on. Don't let this get to you. And so again, He's saying, in effect, rejection will surely happen if you're faithful. The Lord says, pray for your enemies. That presumes you probably have a few. Now, careful, if you don't have any enemies, I'm going to wonder if you're really preaching the gospel. Because if you're really preaching, the Lord said, woe to you, when everyone speaks well of you. And so again, we're not out there looking for a fight. We're not out there trying to offend. But when we preach the unabridged gospel, there are going to be some who say, nay, I'm offended. Off with you, visionary. They'll call you all kinds of names. They'll call you anything but a child of God. Shake the dust. Continue to preach. Don't be alarmed. It's bound to happen. You're in good company with Jesus. Amen? Amen. So again, we have then the freedom of having been summoned, the freedom of simplicity, the freedom of stability, the freedom of surety, and finally, the freedom of substance. It simply says, they went off and they preached repentance. And then it says, they drove out demons and then they anointed many who were sick with oil and they cured them. Now, first of all, they went off and they preached. And it's simply summarized in one word. And the English word here is repentance. But the Greek word, if you will, is metanoiate, repent. It means in Greek a little bit more than just to clean up your behavior. It's deeper. It means in Greek to come to a new mind, to come to a new way of thinking, to have new values, better priorities, a more godly way of thinking, and a less worldly way of thinking. So when the church announces the gospel, when you announce the gospel, you're not just saying clean up your act and behave well. It's nice if people behave well. But the Lord has more respect for us than that. He doesn't want us just to behave well. He wants us to be well. He wants us to have a new mind and a new heart, a heart that actually loves people, a heart that doesn't want revenge and doesn't nurse hatred, a mind that's increasingly free of worldly preoccupations and confusion and bad priorities. He wants to give us a new mind and a new heart in church. That's of course going to change our behavior. But you see, you're inviting people. The church is inviting people to a whole new self, a complete reform of the person from the inside out, a new mind and a new heart. And church, I'm a witness. I don't even want to tell you some of the things I used to think. It's embarrassing. But the Lord showed me the error of my ways. And I know I still got a lot of changes to go through, but the Lord's been good to me. And the Lord's given me a new heart. Is there a witness in the house? Are there some folks that maybe you had trouble loving, but now you're able to love? Are there some things that troubled you that don't trouble you anymore? Are there some fears that have gone away? Are there some things you used to see in a very ugly and ungodly way, and now you see differently? Oh, church, I pray that I'm not alone in this house. Amen? I know I'm not. Praise God. The Lord has a gift to offer. So we don't just go out and say, cut that out. That is not the Christian message. The Christian message is a whole new life is available to you. You come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy. And they went out and they preached, metanoiate, they shouted, repent, come to a new way of thinking, a new way of understanding, a new way of loving. The Lord can do that for you, you see? And notice what happens when they preach this message. Healing. Healing. It says they were able to cast out demons. Oh, church, have you been able to cast out any demons? Demons of ignorance? Demons of fear? Demons of foolishness? Oh, church, when we preach the gospel, demons start coming out of people. I'm going to tell you, church, demons start coming out of people. Again, you see the vision that demons are set loose, demons of sadness, demons of meaningless, demons of ignorance, demons of misplaced priorities, of atheism, agnosticism, demons of worldliness, demons of materialism, demons of impurity and so forth. All of these demons start to go out of folks when the word of God is preached. Church, you have authority over demons. Not you, but the word of God working through you. And it brings healing. Church, I've told you many a time, I'm a witness. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord has brought me, he's driven out all the demons I've mentioned to you, and he's still working on some of them. But I'm telling you right now, church, he's also healing me. Some of the things that used to cause me terrible grief and pain and anxiety, I'm free of that. I've been healed. Anyone here been healed? And I tell you how it happened, because you, I said you, I'm not talking to the person next to you, you preached the word to me. You say, well, that's what you're up there doing, Father. No, 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 you're preaching to me. Yeah, I have this little pulpit up here, but you have yours too. And when you come every Sunday and you sing and you announce the truth and the responses and you say amen to the body of Christ and you come through difficult weather and you come through all different things and you're here every Sunday and you sing and you praise God even despite whatever you're going through, you're preaching to me. And as that word comes from you to me, I'm healed and demons are being driven out. You've shown me that the word of God is real. Oh, church, you are empowered to be a great evangelizer. You're already doing it. And the question now for you and for me is simply this: become more and more free. Again, let the Lord give you the freedom of knowing you've been summoned. You don't have to answer to anybody who says, who are you to talk like that? Listen, He called me. And if you're baptized, he's called you. Don't let anybody doubt your call. You have been baptized priest, prophet, and king. You're chosen, summoned to go out and announce. So there's a freedom in being summoned. There's a freedom of simplicity. As little by little, you pull up some of the roots that you set down in the world, and you become increasingly free of its manipulative desires. and you become more and more free, less worried about the consequences of preaching. And then the freedom of stability, to just work with what you got, rather than say, well, if I had something better, you just work with what you got. There's a freedom in that. There's a freedom in surety. I don't need to worry about what people call me. I just know this. The Lord promised it, and I'm just going to shake the dust and go on preaching. And then there's the freedom of knowing the substance of what I'm to preach and not apologizing for it. Church, one final thought on that. There's a lot of people who are critical of biblical and church teachings today, especially about issues of sexuality. I'm just going to tell you, you don't have to apologize. Be kind, be clear, but we've got to announce the truth. Sexuality is to be expressed only within marriage. Therefore, a lot of the sexual sins that go on in our culture today, with promiscuity, heterosexual sins, homosexual sins, all of these things, again, the gospel is clear on these. Again, to know that this is the substance that the Lord has given us gives us a courage to speak, even though it's unpopular. Know this, it's not just your opinion or the opinion of men, it is what God has revealed in His sacred word, that all of us are called to live chastely in this world. There are other issues that come up in about abortion and about capital punishment and about all kinds of other different related things. I simply say to you, have the courage to know what God teaches and don't make lots of apologies that some people get offended. Now, don't say it in an offensive way, but say it with kindness, with love, with invitation, but with courage. Charity with clarity and clarity with charity. Speak it clearly, speak it with love, but speak it. Again, there's a real freedom in simply knowing this is what God has taught, this is what He has revealed, and this is what it is my job to announce. Freedom, church, freedom. We need to ask, you are already wonderful evangelizers. Just with me, pray. As I pray for myself, pray for yourself. Lord, make me increasingly free. Free to preach. Free to announce your word. Lord, oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. And before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Amen.